How many of you know you're saved tonight?
Amen.
Okay. Not sure where this message is going to go, and if my wife was sitting over there, I would be looking up right now. She's going, ooh. But we're going to follow the Lord tonight, and we're going to talk about grace a little bit tonight. That's what's been on my heart. My heart's desire with this message is that by the time this message is over with, that we'll look at grace a little bit differently. We'll look at it a little deeper, and we'll appreciate the Lord more with it. Turn with me, and we're going to start with a simple verse in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 8. You could probably pretty well quote it without even turning there. But we're going to start tonight in Genesis 6, verse 8. Very short verse. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm just going to go ahead and pray right now. Lord, I want you to have your way with this message, Lord. Please, God, move me out of the way. And God, let us to see you tonight, Lord. Let us to see what grace really is. Let us appreciate you even more and want to praise you more by the end of this message, Lord. And just thank you so much more for what you do for us. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you, God, for grace. Thank you, Lord, for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the Old Testament, the word for grace, and I can't say the word because it's a very weird-sounding word, but under the Strong's Concordance, I'll even give you the number for it because I like to do those things. H2580, the word H-E-N, that's how it's spelled. Now, it sounds like it's going to be hen, but it's some kind of sound. So I'm not going to try it because I butcher it. And I think I could butcher it and probably make it sound okay, because when I listened to it, it was just, I don't know how they come up with that sound. But the definition for this word is favor, pleasant, precious, or well-favored. Now, in the Old Testament, that's what these words are meaning. And now, when I look through the word grace through the Old Testament, it all comes back to this word in the Hebrew, H-E-N, I'll spell it. That means favor, pleasant, precious, or well-informed, or well-favored, excuse me. Turn me to Psalms 84 real quick. I'd like to read you another verse in the Old Testament. Psalm 84:11. Now, sometimes I'll have you moving a lot. Sometimes I'll try to just read some of the verses. But I also believe the way Brother Robert believes, that the Bible can speak for itself. Yeah. It doesn't need me to try to speak for it. Amen. So I want the Bible to speak, and I can't find Psalm 91. Where am I at? Come here. I should have marked it. See, I could have cheated and marked, and I just didn't even do it. There we go. Psalm 84:11. Let's read this verse here. As soon as I get there. All right. There we go. Let's actually read in verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. I like that. I like those verses. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Amen. I'd rather be a trash picker-upper.
Yes, sir. That's right.
A toilet washer. Whatever you want me to be. I've already been in the wickedness. That life is over. Even though I mess up, I don't want to go back to those things. I'd like to stay in the grace of God. I'd like to stay in that favor. I'd like to stay in that preciousness of God. That's what grace is described as here in the Old Testament with the definition. I'd like to stay in the pleasantness of who God is. So I would much rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God, because it says he give grace and glory. I can try to glorify myself, and I've got a few accolades in my life I might could sit and throw out there, and it might sound like a little something. But when it really comes down to it, it's nothing. Oh, I played baseball. Oh, I did this. Oh, whatever. Or, oh, I saw the other day where somebody can jump and his feet came this high off the ground. Boy, he can jump. What's that really got us? Because where we need to be is in the grace and the glory of God. Now let's go to the New Testament. Luke chapter number 2, verse 40. What I want you to see tonight is how much different the meaning in the New Testament is from the Old Testament. Luke chapter number 2 and verse 40. And this is going to be talking about Jesus. Here in the New Testament, it says in Luke 2:40, and it's, oh, well, let me read 39 leading into it. It'd be better. And when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth, and the child grew, and that's Jesus, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, I look this word up in the New Testament. I love to understand meanings because sometimes I feel like we get a one-sided or a little more shallow understanding of what the Bible really means sometimes because our English language is a little different than them back then. So the word here is the Greek, and I'm going to give you the Strong's numbers. You can look it up for yourself. G5485. You look that up, Strong's Concordance, and it'll show you the whole what I'm showing you plus more. And it says, it stands for, and this is the definition now. Now remember, in the Old Testament it said favor, pleasant, precious, and well-favored. In the New Testament, graciousness, acceptable, benefit, favor, gift, gracious, joy, liberality, pleasure, and thanksworthy. Now, in the New Testament, that's got a lot more meanings than that word grace in the old one, doesn't it? Now, I don't think it's any less. I think when it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, I think it means that he found favor with God.
Yeah.
But you think about the New Testament. Who's now here? Jesus.
Yes, sir.
The one who's going to bring his grace.
That's right.
And that I got the, finding interesting in the New Testament, this word grace is used 156 times in 147 verses. Now, I believe if God put this word in here that many times, there's obviously something powerful to the word grace.
Amen.
Wouldn't you agree?
Amen.
Think about these, and I'm going to read this verse. We know, well, let's turn to John. I want you to see this verse with me. I told you I'd read some on, but this one I really want you to see. John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1, we're going to read two verses, 16 and 17. John chapter number 1, verse 16 and 17. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. Listen to this. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We know where grace comes from. It's by Jesus Christ. But let's put these definitions in here and understand what it means. The law was given by Moses, but graciousness was given by Jesus Christ.
That's right.
The acceptable, being accepted, was given by Jesus Christ.
Sir.
The benefit was given by Jesus Christ. Favor was given by Jesus Christ. The gift was given by Jesus Christ. Being gracious was given by Jesus Christ. The joy was given by Jesus Christ. The only time I can find that I could ever think of it, liberal means something good, is right here when it says the liberality, which means the quality of giving or spending freely.
Amen.
That's what it says about Jesus.
Glory God.
Liberality, the quality of giving or spending freely, a generous behavior or temperament. That's who my Jesus is.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ. Pleasure, which means happy and satisfaction and enjoyment, comes from Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Being thankful and being willing or worthy of thanks comes from Jesus Christ. See, now that adds a whole nother depth of perception of what grace is.
Yes, sir.
When you start applying those different definitions to what Christ gives us in grace. Now, I'm going to give you some examples of what I feel like grace is here in a little bit. But I just want to share these things with you. I want you to get into perspective. The Bible says in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It says he justified freely. It says right up here, the liberality is the quality of giving or spending freely. Christ is freely willing to give you joy and all these things to us in our life.
That's right.
That's grace.
Amen.
That's good. Now, for by grace are we saved through faith? Yes, we know that. I'm saved through Christ and his sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
But I, way more than just salvation with his sacrifice. And those are the things I want us to focus on even more than just the fact that he's willing to save us, is the fact that he's willing to make us acceptable.
Amen.
That he's willing to give us some benefits here. Amen?
Amen?
We've got some benefits even here on earth.
That's good, brother.
Yeah, we've got heaven coming, and boy, that's going to be a great benefit. We'll get there. I'm not going to get ahead of myself because I really want to. I can't wait to talk about the heaven part of it. Because there's been some things on my mind with my family. And y'all know my wife with her leg. And thinking about people in the church that suffered and all the things. Thinking about my dad up there playing his guitar and singing. Thinking about my grandmother. I've been thinking about my lost loved ones. Oh, I can't wait to get to heaven, just to let y'all know. But we are justified freely because of grace. In this world, I can promise you, there's nothing free.
Wow.
There's nothing free. But my God says he freely gave us grace. As a gift of salvation. It's a gift. We know that. Now, 1 Timothy 1:14, if you will turn me there. I don't know how long this message will go. I might be done in 5 minutes. I don't know. I'm not going to keep you long tonight because I don't want people fussing at me for keeping you too late on Wednesday night, Lord willing. So if you don't want me to keep you late, just say, Lord, let help him get to his point quick. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 14. And the grace of our Lord, listen to these next three words, was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. It uses two words to describe it. It's abundant, which means there's plenty of it. There's another verses in the Bible that talks about these same things, but I went to this and because grace was right there with it. But listen to what it says again. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. Amen. Think about this for a moment. I want you to, and this might take you to a bad place, but I want you to, for 1 second or just a moment, in your mind, think of the worst thing that you've ever done in your life. You don't say it out loud. I really don't want to know it. But you think about it for a moment. Then think about people in the Bible as some of the terrible things they did in the Bible. And you know, and you do know because you've heard it, I'm sure. It says right here that it's exceeding abundant. That means it's way bigger, better, wonderful, more, all those things than anything bad you've ever done. It means he can overcome it and he can save
it,
forgive it, get rid of it. All your terrible thoughts, all your terrible things, he can forgive it and he's exceedingly and abundantly able to. That ought to mean something to us.
Amen.
Because I can think of some pretty terrible things I've done in my life. That's between me and the Lord. It's going to stay there. But the fact that he loved me enough to freely give me grace.
Yes, sir.
Freely give it to me without any payback.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't have to give him money. I didn't have to try to buy my way. I didn't have to do good works. I didn't have to do all these things. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith.
That's right.
It says it's a gift. Yeah. We'll get to there in just a second, actually. That's what grace is.
Yes.
And all those other definitions that we were pulling out there just a moment ago goes along with grace. And it says here in verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love.
Amen.
Ooh.
Amen.
That means he loves us.
Yeah.
He loves us. What other explanation could you say except for he loves us if he's willing to give his only son to die for us?
That's right.
And he's willing to look at us, the wretched sinners. He's willing to look at us that don't deserve anything good from him and say, you know what, I'm just going to freely give it to you. I'm going to open up grace to you. And I'm going to give it to you freely.
Wow. Praise God.
I'm going to give you, I'm going to make you acceptable. I'm going to give you some benefits. See, I keep going to this list because I really want you to keep thinking about this list of more of what grace means. I'm going to give you some graciousness, gratifying. I'm going to give you some favor. I'm going to give you some gifts. I'm going to give you gracious, to be gracious. I'm going to give you joy. I'm going to give you liberally. I'm going to give you pleasure. Pleasure is a good thing. It means happiness. It means satisfaction. And I'm going to give you some thanksfulness. Willing to give thanks. That's what he's telling us he'll give us to freely tonight. While we're here on earth. So I'm going to give you some examples of grace tonight. I'm moving a lot quicker than I thought I would. But that's all right. Genesis chapter number 2 and verse 7. These are just a few examples of grace that has been on my heart. Thinking about things. Genesis chapter number 2 and verse 7. It's talking about creation. And this one means a lot to me because I'll explain to you in just a moment why. Excuse me. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground." And watch the gift he gives here in grace. "And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul."
Amen.
He gave us the gift of life.
Amen.
He gave us breath. It didn't say that he just formed him and went, poof, there he was. He formed him, and then it says he breathed into him. He took on a personal role in this to say, "I'm going to give you life personally." Because it says he breathed into him the breath of life, into his nostrils the breath of life. That ought to show us the care and love that God really has for us in being his creation, is that he was willing to give us life himself.
Yes.
That's a gift.
That's
amen?
Right.
Won't you do me a favor? Everybody do it for me. Take a good deep breath in. You all still breathing? Just making sure. Nobody lightheaded on me? It wasn't that long ago I couldn't do that.
Yeah. Wow.
You don't know why this means so much to me? Because I was laid up in a hospital on oxygen. I couldn't catch my breath. Couldn't hardly walk. Wife is worried, praying, has people praying for me. I go home on oxygen. I couldn't hardly get up and walk to the bathroom. I'd have to sit down because I couldn't take a breath. You want to know what grace is to me?
Amen, brother. Amen.
I just took a deep breath. That's grace.
Amen.
Woo!
Yes,
sir. Psalm 150 verse 6 says, "Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." That's what I'm doing right here for you tonight. I don't deserve his breath.
Yes, sir.
But I've got the gift of his of life right now, breathing. I know people who didn't make it.
Brother.
I've got family members who didn't make it during all that COVID. But in Psalm 150, verse 6, it says, "Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord." You just said you got breath tonight, so you have a reason to praise the Lord for the gift of breath that he's given us. And that's grace tonight. That is some benefit. Wouldn't you agree?
Amen.
Yes.
We have a reason to praise the Lord, and it's grace. That's his grace on me. He could have easily took me on.
Yep.
It's been a long road. But I'm standing up here tonight.
Come on.
And I'm breathing. Still ain't 100%. But I ain't 60-something percent like they said I was before.
Praise the Lord.
So I praise the Lord for it. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Now, this is another very common verse that we hear, and something probably people number of people could quote in here, but it still is a very powerful verse to me.
Yes,
because
sir.
It says here in Ephesians 2, verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God."
Yes, sir.
"Not of works, lest any man should boast." Look at the verse 10. "For we are his workmanship." Didn't we just talk about him creating us and giving us breath here in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 10? It says, "Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them."
Amen.
"For by grace are ye saved." Now, if you've been in church any amount of time, especially a good God, if a church believes right, you know that it's through grace that you're saved.
Amen.
It's a gift. That was one of the definitions. It says a gift. Amen?
Amen.
But you know what it means? When I accepted that free gift of salvation, it made me acceptable unto God.
Yeah.
I got thinking about this. I wasn't acceptable. You know why? Because I have sinned.
Yes, sir.
I can't stand before God in heaven with sin.
Right.
Christ made me acceptable.
Amen.
He gave me the benefit of the doubt. And said, "You know what?
Woo!
That old wretched sinner Donnie's going to accept me one day.
Yeah.
So I'm going to send my son to die without grace so that that old wretched sinner can have grace."
That's
Think about
amazing.
That. He gave me favor. You know why? Because God doesn't look at me as just a creation anymore. I accepted his free gift of salvation. He now looks at me as a child.
Amen.
That's called some benefits. That's called favor. He gave me the gift of salvation. And his definitely was gracious enough to give it to me. He's given me joy. Amen.
Amen.
Not always happiness, because happiness comes and goes. But as our pastor's taught, joy is what we have inside because we have Christ Jesus living
That's
within
right,
us through grace.
Right,
yeah. Amen. He's been pretty liberal with me.
Yes, sir.
Think about your life.
Woo!
Think about what you have. I've got a job. I don't like my job sometimes, but I've got a job. Amen. Pays the bills. He's been liberal with me. He's blessed me. I have a wife who is supposed to die from cancer. She's not able to be here tonight because she's not feeling well. Two bouts of cancer, Ewing sarcoma, that only 25% of the children who get it live. And she's had it twice. And she's alive today. And this year has been 30 years cancer free.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
That's called grace, by the way, in case you didn't know that.
Amen.
You know why I call that grace as well? Because my wife led me to the Lord.
Woo.
That's double grace.
Yeah. Come on.
They told my wife, or they didn't even tell her, they told her parents, that she'd have a 0 to 2% chance of ever having children. I've got two.
Wow.
I tell everybody I got 1 and 2% while we were at it.
Come on now.
Amen. One of them's downstairs working with the youth.
Good.
Are they perfect? No, they're like their dad. They're not perfect.
Yeah.
But they're covered under grace.
Amen.
You want to know what grace is? That's grace.
Yeah.
My salvation is through Christ Jesus. That's grace. But that grace abounds way more. It says it's abundant, exceeding and abundant.
Yes, sir.
It's way more than I can imagine.
They
told me, and I've said the story 100 times, but I can't help it. Just when I think of grace, it comes to my mind. They said, if you ever have children, there'll be something wrong with them. And I always joke, said their problem is that they like to eat like their dad. They're healthy.
Yeah.
That's grace.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
You start looking at what our bodies can, when at childbirth and how complicated and how complex our bodies are and how one DNA, one chromosome, one thing can be switched and it can totally destroy somebody.
Yeah.
So if you are so-called normal, you got 10 toes, 10 feet, not 10 feet, 10 fingers. Don't have 10 feet, that's not normal. I was trying to get there. 10 toes, 10 fingers, 2 feet, 2 hands. Then praise God.
sir.
The Bible says, praise you, the Lord.
That's right, brother.
Amen. Now, my wife has one prosthetic leg right now, but she still praises the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Sweet lady.
I can't get her to... She's only recently finally started using the handicap placard. She said, I don't consider myself handicapped. And I said, well, honey, you're not walking too good. Your leg ain't right. You're going to have to use this. I make her, you know. Yeah. She don't get around good, but she's like, I'm not handicapped. You know, I'm okay, you know. That's just the way God is, amen? That's who he is. I want you to understand something when I talked about joy over here. In Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse 2, I'm going to read it real quick. If you want to turn there, you can. Time is now moving. Amen. So I'm going to have to move. Are y'all going to start throwing books at me down there saying, all right, you've gone long enough? Talking about grace and joy, I want you to see this verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. That phrase has always just grabbed my attention.
Amen.
Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand at the of the throne of God. Who for the joy that was set before him. You know who that joy is?
Come on.
It's me.
Yes, sir.
Yes, now, I know by your testimonies, but for most of you, you say it's you as well. You're going to have to answer that question for yourself. Is it you? Are you that joy?
Wow.
Are you the one that has accepted that free gift of salvation? Do you know him as your Savior? And if it is, you are that joy that's set before him.
Yeah, you're right, brother.
The beautiful thing is that if you're sitting there and you're going, I don't know, I haven't accepted that free gift, it ain't too late. You know why?
That's right.
Because you took a deep breath a moment ago and you're still breathing. So that means there's
yes,
still time.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 2. It says again, "For the who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." The Bible says that he was on the cross and at one point in time that God turned his back on his son and he became his judge. And he looked up to heaven. He didn't call him Father. He said, my God, my God.
Yes, sir.
Because at that moment, God had to turn from being Father and be the judge of Christ. Without grace, because that's what brought grace to us.
Yeah.
So understand, all those terrible things you were thinking about earlier is now on Christ, hanging on the cross without the grace that we have, and he's doing it freely because he loves you and me.
Yes, sir.
That's the salvation.
That's right, in the Bible. Yes, sir.
That's the joy that's set before him, why he endured the cross. Because he knew Donnie was going to need salvation, and he was going to accept it.
Amen.
He knew you were going to need salvation, and you would accept it.
Amen.
He knows who's going to be saved. I don't believe that it's already that is set in stone and we shouldn't be trying to tell others about Christ.
Come on.
I believe it's set there and God knows who's going to choose. But I also believe he wants us, because the Bible tells us to spread the word to all nations.
That's
he wants
right.
us to spread this and tell it.
Yeah.
About the grace that's been given us. Now I know it's getting close to time, but I want to cover this one. Your suffering is a picture of grace.
Amen.
This is one that's hit me. Romans 8:28, I'll read it for sake of time. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
And we know that all things work together for good.
Yes, sir.
For that to say it works together for good means there's going to be a benefit out of it.
That's right.
There's going to be a benefit from what you're going through. You know what? Excuse me. The benefit I know the benefit of my wife's suffering with her cancer was my salvation.
Yeah.
Because I've been raised in church my whole life. I was in church before. My whole life I was in church. But it was after we got married and I thought I was saved, my wife would be talking about hearing about God. She'd talk about all of her problems she's gone through. She would talk about what God did for her during the cancer treatments. How that the doctors told her one time, if you throw up once, you'll throw up every day for 2 or 3 weeks straight, nonstop, and there's nothing we can do about it, or you won't throw up at all. And she's like, God, I can't take it. She threw up one time. The doctor said, I've never in my life seen somebody do that. She had asked God, please, I can't handle it. Blood transfusions that just would not go through back in the day before they did all the testing on the bloods. And she's told me stories about how the nurse got the first bag of blood to go through. The second bag all of a sudden just stops and would not go in. The nurse tried again. She tried a third time. And the nurse finally looked down and she said, I don't think you're supposed to get this bag of blood. I'm not giving it to you. Now you can say that's just coincidence, but I know what that is. That's God saving my wife's life.
That's right.
That's what that was.
Yes, sir.
That's grace.
Amen.
Your suffering has benefits because the Bible says it here. And I want you to think about this. And we know all through the Bible of people who suffered from Job. I can go through all the stories. It wasn't for nothing. And I've shared that story. When Job was falling, or things was falling, people was falling before him and telling him all the bad things, the fifth thing that fell was Job. He fell to the ground and he praised and worshiped God. And five, in the numerology has been told many times, is the number of grace. And I believe it's a beautiful picture of what can happen in our lives in suffering if we'll only let God have it. Now that's easier said than done, because that we all have struggles in our life and we want to look at it ourselves and we want to try to figure it out. And when it ain't working right, we want to struggle with it. And we don't want to let it go to God. We don't want to fully trust Him. And we can fully trust Him. And it's still not working out the way we think. And we can't see the full picture. But I'm telling you, God's grace is in our suffering.
Yeah.
I've heard Jason sit over here who's suffering. And he said in church, and it stuck with me. He said, this has brought me closer to God. My wife told me, she said she really felt like the second time she got cancer was because God was she was starting to go down some wrong roads. And she said, I believe God was redirecting my life to keep me back on track for Him.
Yeah.
She said, I feel that way. I prayed and said, God, why? And she said, that's what God told me.
Yep.
There's benefit in our sufferings.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is a picture of God's grace. I want you to understand something. In the book of Job, and I'll tell you this, and I'll get to the last point I want to get to, where I'm going to smile real big. In the book of Job, if you read the first verse and you say, why did Job go through what he went through? That very first verse says, there was a man in the land of Uz. Somebody wrote that book about Job. It wasn't Job. You look at the author, it doesn't say Job wrote it. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz. Job's suffering brought benefit because somebody saw his life and said, I need to write this.
Wow.
It affected me. We need to be praying for God's grace to be on us, that our suffering can bring benefit to not only ourselves to bring us closer, but benefit to someone else who might be going through something or might need to see grace in you, see God in you. It might be they get saved because of your suffering. You don't know what it might be, but I'm telling you, there's grace all in our sufferings. You look at Paul. He prayed. We know he prayed for his thorn in the flesh to be gone. But what did God say? No. He said, but my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, I'm going to read this list quickly. Let me tell you what Paul went through. He was kidnapped, beaten. Five times it says he suffered 40 stripes save one. You know what that means, right? He was scourged, threatened, arrested many times, in jail, accused, interrogated, ridiculed, ignored, shipwrecked three times. I might give up getting on boats after the second time. First time I could give it to you, okay? Second time, I'm probably done with the ocean. Three times it says he was shipwrecked. Night and day it says he said he was out in the deep. Then he gets onto the land on one of them, and a fiery serpent jumps out of the flames and bites him, an asp, a poisonous snake. At what point would I be going, Lord, what's going on here? God had already told him, you're going to survive. He sent an angel. He said, my grace is sufficient. It's with you. Paul just keeps on going. He was beaten with rods three times. He was stoned. Don't look that up. It's not pleasant. Stoned. That means he was there and they were throwing rocks at him, big, small, and left him for dead. But yet, Paul's in jail and saying, I'm content where I am.
Yeah, you're right.
That's grace. That's grace.
Yes, sir.
Turn with me to Titus. We'll be done here in just a moment. Titus 2, 11 through 13. I never knew, and you sometimes wonder, if you're doing something for the Lord, is it really doing anything? I learned this passage back in, I think, fourth or fifth grade at Awana's years ago. I didn't learn the scripture because it meant something to me. Over in Titus, chapter number 2, 11 through 13, I won it because I wore a pin on my uniform. So I was learning because this woman was like, push, you can get it, you can get it. I ran into her wife, her husband, I think it was last year at a funeral when she had passed away, and I got to talking to him, and I told him I had learned these scriptures and stuff. Listen to this in Titus 2:11-13. You want to know what the last picture I'm going to share with you about grace tonight is? Heaven. Well, I kind of led up to that earlier, but listen to this in Titus 2:11-13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself, I'm going to read on because I like this next verse, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works.
Amen.
Now we know in the Gospels it talks about how he says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I do, I'm coming again. Right? That's what we're looking for. That's the blessed hope we're looking for, is the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's going to prepare heaven for us. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to ask you a quick question because I'm going to be done in just a few minutes. How many of you have somebody in heaven you know from their testimony is saved who's waiting on you up there? You know, don't you think about this for a moment. The beautiful picture of grace is when you go to heaven and you get to meet that loved one again.
Yeah,
amen? When you know your spouse is going to be there with you. When you know your children are going to be there with you. When you know your brother, your sister, your cousin, your grandparents, whoever it might be that you still have access to at this moment in your life, you know they're going to be in heaven with you. I've got family members I know I'll see in heaven from their testimony. I've got some that I won't.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I've got family members that from their testimony I won't see them.
Right.
But I do have some I'm going to see. I want you to think about heaven and how beautiful the picture of heaven is. Now, you don't know what it's going to be like, and I don't either, so you just let my imagination run wild. But I can picture standing there at the gates of heaven, because it talks about these beautiful gates. So I don't know if we're going to be outside the gates and walk in, or are we going to be immediately inside heaven. I don't know how this is going to work. But we sing the song Just Over in Glory Land, and I always picture this in my mind when I get to take that very first step into heaven. All my feelings are going to be gone. Amen. All my pain is going to be gone.
That's right.
My back's not going to hurt. My lungs are going to work great. My father-in-law's metal pieces in his spine is going to just fall out and be gone.
Yep.
Now, if you know Brother Bob and my father-in-law, he always, if you ask him how he's doing, he said, I ain't kicking as high as I used to, but I'm still kicking. Well, praise the Lord, he's going to get to heaven. He ain't going to have a cane. He ain't going to have a walker, and he's going to kick as high as he wants to.
Right.
Amen? That's grace. That's what God has given us as benefits.
Amen.
We won't have to worry about pain and suffering anymore. One of the other beautiful pictures of heaven is that, and you may have heard this, and I'm going to tell it to you again, you'll never pray again in heaven.
That's
right. You ain't got anything you got to ask for.
Yep.
Think about it. I'm going to talk to him face to face.
That's right.
I'm going to praise him.
Glory to God.
In his presence. I'm going to get to praise the Lord without any suffering going on around me. It's going to be uninhibited praise.
Amen.
For the first time in my life. Amen. That's grace.
That's pretty good, brother.
That's our hope. That's all the things in this list I was talking about. I'm not going to read them again because I'm looking at the clock. I'm going to let you go. But I want you to think about heaven tonight. Singing to God in person. In person, we sing here. It gets to God. But you can be in his presence singing to God.
Amen.
And worshiping him.
Yeah.
Think about the last thing about praise I want to share with you on it. And grace is when you get to take the crowns and lay them at his feet.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Christ is your grace.
Yes, sir.
That gives me this opportunity.
Yes.
It's your abundance. It's your joy. It's your gifts. It's your benefits. It's all these things that grace is talking about in these definitions. I get to lay this at your feet, at your presence, and worship you the way it should be done.
Amen.
Amen. That's grace. The next time you hear the song Amazing Grace, I want you to think about it.
Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. 'Tis grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Listen to this last verse as we're singing. 10. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. The Bible said, praise ye the Lord, didn't it? Praise God. Praise God, 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 praise God.
Amen.
If you have grace tonight, you've got everything.
That's right, brother.
And it's way more than just unmerited favor. It is unmerited favor. We can't earn it. But there's a whole bountiful meaning behind grace.
Right.
Hold on to it and live by it.
Yes,
and trust in it.
Yes.
And praise God along the way.
Amen.
Lord, thank you, God, for allowing us to be here tonight. Thank you, God, for the message that you've given to me to help me, Lord. Thank you, God, for just allowing us to meet and to worship you for a little while, Lord. Help us, God, as we go out. And, Lord, help us to remember what grace is and how precious it is to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.